been a wild, wild day. Nice to have you here. All right, telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. On the other side of this, I do have plenty of room for your reaction. We talked about the Golden State Warriors and Mavericks. Golden State looked really good. Obviously, the top story today, the battle in the SEC. The Nictator fires the first shots. Jimbo Fisher did not respond well. Actually, responded awesomely. And we have ourselves a legitimate beef. Let's talk some golf. Let me change up on you. We are joined right now by a golfchannel.com senior writer. He is co-host of Golf Central Podcast. He is Rex number 7. He is a good friend of the program. If there is a major tournament to be played, he is one of the first people, if not the first guys we go to. He is Rex Hoggard. Rex, it is so good to have you back. How are you, Rex?
I'm awesome. I don't know how I can compete with Saban and Jimbo Fisher. Like, that to me is just amazing.
Dude, isn't that great? Like, what is your reaction to that?
It's funny. Mark Schraber, of course, the ESPN writer who covers both college football and golf for them now, he is here, and he came and we were having this conversation about how surreal it is, and he kind of just mentioned how many SEC coaches have reached out to him saying that they can't believe it either. Like, this is one of those things. I think the line that he gave me was, this is the first time in Lane Kiffin's life that he's been speechless. You have these two titans going to war. It's amazing.
Rex Hoggard joining us. Well done, Rex. All right, so last year's PGA Championship was the site of, if not the best moment, certainly one of the best moments of Phil Mickelson's career, but he's not here to defend the title and take that victory lap, and it's not for physical reasons. How do you make of the entire, or what do you make of how the entire thing is played out for him?
When I go back to Augusta and how it landed, that he wasn't there, and we all know that what the Masters means to Phil in his career, I mean, he's going to be kind of defined what he did there. For him not to be at Augusta, for him not to be at the Champions Dinner, that felt surreal. Talking with players and being on property this week, where he should have been celebrating that victory last year. You pointed out how much a great accomplishment it was for Phil. I would argue it's one of the greatest accomplishments in all of golf, and yet here we are without Phil Mickelson. If it felt surreal at Augusta, it just feels sad this week.
We're talking to Rex Hoggard. Now, Rex, as you've written, the defending champ, Phil, he would have hosted the Champions Dinner, but Dave Stockton, who is a two-time winner, said, quote, it was a fun evening. Phil was not missed. I think Phil would have been a big distraction. The story here this week is the PGA. End of quote. What do you make of that remark? And then what is your sense as to how the other players feel about Phil and the situation?
I think I saw where Dave was coming from, and I asked him that question, and he kind of went on to sort of explain how the Champions Dinner here at the PGA has changed over the last few years. It's become a much more intimate affair. It's essentially just the past champion, so it's kind of a room of your peers and your trade stories and how much fun it was. And I guess in his mind, and I can see where he's coming from, had Phil been there, it would have been uncomfortable, I would guess, because what do you say to him in that situation? Hello, Phil. How's everything going? I mean, we know everything's not going well. We know things are in a bad place right now. I mean, and I don't know. There was a part of me that was wondering if he was going to subject himself, Phil, to all he was going to have to endure this week and answer all of those awkward questions and be under that intense spotlight. And so it was a huge part of me that last Friday when they announced that he wasn't going to be here, I completely got it. Like, I understand. Like, if and when he ever does come back, it is going to be such a zoo, and this probably just wasn't going to be the week.
Rex Hoggard is joining us. It seems to me like I understand that maybe this is not the week, but if he's going to have to take that medicine at some point. Like, if you want that to go away, you have to stand out there, and you've got to take this and own it and address it. Like, the whole thing is entirely self-inflicted. Nobody did this to him. He's done it to himself. So why has he been unable or unwilling to undo the whole thing or come forward and address it and own any of it?
And I don't know how it could. That's a really, really good question. But as we stand right now, if we were just going to kind of read into where he's going from here without any further context, I would guess that his next start, the next time we see him publicly, is going to be at the LIV Golf event in London, where it'll be a very controlled setting and there probably won't be a lot of media there, and he will be able to maybe control the narrative, which Phil has always wanted to do over the course of his career. After that, I just don't know how he ingratiates himself back into the setting. Talking with players this week, certainly Tiger Woods was outspoken on this, talking about, this is all, as you pointed out, of Phil's own making. And even though there's no sympathy there, there's certainly empathy, because you can look at what's happening to him right now, how everything has unraveled. Again, I'll go back to this was supposed to be a celebration, and you look at how far down he is, and I don't know how he digs himself out of this hole, because he's always done it in his career, and he's had plenty of instances when he has run afoul. He's criticized Ryder Cup captains. He hit a moving ball on a green at a U.S. Open. I mean, there's been so many chapters in his life that seem like huge missteps, and yet he's able to play his way out of it. He played well. He was America's champion, and everyone forgave him. I don't think he can do that this time around.
It's so interesting what you just said. You're right. He's played his way out of every impossible lie. Like, nothing sticks to this guy, but not this time. You know, Rex, I'm trying to talk about the event itself, but you mentioned LIV. No matter what happens this week, it feels like the specter of LIV Golf is going to hang around the tour for a while. And as long as they're looking to throw a lot of money at guys, money, I mean, big-time money, is it inevitable that players will go to their events, or are guys going to resist it? How do you see this playing out over the rest of this year?
Oh, it's inevitable guys are going to go to that first event. I mean, by all accounts, I've been told that upwards of 70 tour players asked for releases to play in that first event in London, and they were all denied. And what's going to happen is you're going to end up, it's a 48-player field, which is, so it's amazing to me that you had 70 guys trying to get in. But what's amazing to me is I think those players will still go and play. And at that point, the PGA Tour will have to draw the line and suspend them or expel them or whatever you want to do. And then it creates sort of this legal vacuum, which is where we'll probably spend the next year, if not a few years, trying to decide, are they independent contractors? Does the tour have the right to dictate where and when they play? It's going to lead to a larger scale conversation, but they're absolutely, they'll have a field. In London, they'll have 48 players. It's probably not the 48 players they want, but they'll get 48 players.
Rex Hoggard is joining us, so quick follow to that. How significant a threat is LIV to the PGA Tour? And then what do you make of Greg Norman's role in all of this?
I think it's a significant threat. I mean, PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan was here this week. He's been out more this year than I think I've ever seen him. The fact that they did deny those releases that I referenced last week into that first event, and I see this, I recognize that this is a real threat to the PGA Tour, but these types of releases are things they've done really historically since the beginning of time. I mean, just earlier this year, they gave PGA Tour members, two dozen PGA Tour members, releases to go play in the Saudi International, which is essentially run by these same people, and this is just a money grab. And these guys have always done it. So to ask how significant this is, they felt like it was significant enough to draw a line right here and say, no, we're not going to do this anymore.
Talking to Rex Hoggard. Rex, you mentioned Tiger. Tiger did not get off to a great start. What kind of expectations do you have for him this week? And would making the cut be a good week for him?
I kind of said the same thing at Augusta. I think you and I had this conversation. And I felt like 72 holes was going to be a reason to celebrate. And I still feel like that. I mean, if you look back at the Masters, I know he wasn't happy with his week. But after everything he's been through, and we all kind of know just bits and pieces of how extensive those injuries were to his leg and the surgeries and everything that he's had to go through, I think it was a victory just to make the cut. And I would make the same argument this week. Actually, I wrote yesterday that it would probably be a bigger accomplishment this week, because if you sort of look at the makeup of the field of the four major championships, this is the best of those four as far as the world ranking goes. And so to beat out 156 other guys and to play 72 holes, I think it would be another victory and another step in the right direction. What I find fascinating is how this is forcing Tiger, who has this tried and true ability to get ready and peak at major championships, he's having to rediscover the formula. And for him, doing it on a leg that's been rebuilt, doing it with a back that clearly is still bothering, it's a challenge. And I think what we're going to see over the next few years is him trying to find a way to play around all of these limitations.
He's plus three with one hole to go. I mean, Rex, where do you come out on this? For instance, like, I understand that he's trying to put this thing back together, but like you and I did talk about, and we're talking about right now, the toll of playing major championship golf is really intense for Tiger. Like, he can't put in the same amount of time that he used to prepare. Knowing all that, why is he playing this week, and why would he put himself and his body through all of this?
I remember him walking up the stairs on Friday at Augusta, and you could tell he was hurting. But as he kind of turned the corner to the clubhouse and started up the stairs to the champion's locker room, that's the question that immediately came to my mind, because the pain and really the agony, and it was such a struggle for him to get up those stairs. That's immediately where I went is, I know you can do this. You're Tiger Woods. I'm never going to doubt you. Like, I've just learned over the course of my career not to do that, but why would you put yourself through this? In his mind, and look, he fell back on the old hits when he was asked about it earlier this week. And do you feel like you can win? Absolutely. I don't show up unless I think I can win. I'd like to think he truly believes that. but to endure everything he has to endure right now. I wish I had a better answer for you. I have no idea why.
Rex Auger joins me for another moment or so. What about Rory McIlroy? He got off to a very, very good start. How does he look to you right now?
I was very high on Rory coming into this week. I think a lot of people were. I was at the Wells Fargo just 2 weeks ago, and he did all the things that Rory does well. He drove the ball unbelievably well. He hit his irons perfectly. I think if he would have just putted a little bit better, he'd probably had a really legitimate chance to win that. I think the fascinating stat I saw this morning is since Rory won his last major championship in 2014 at the PGA Championship, he is 35 over par in the first round in the majors.
Wow.
And it kind of shows you where I think there's a level of pressure that has just built over those however many years since 2014 that I'm Rory McIlroy, I need to win major championships. And I think that manifests itself in too much pressure on Thursday, too much pressure on Friday. And we saw it at Augusta. By the time he got to the weekend, he opened with rounds of 73. He was really just playing with house money at that point. And he can go out and freewheel it and be Rory McIlroy. The fact that we're seeing that in the first round this week, I think that's huge.
Rex Auger, my guest. Rex, Xander Schauffele shot 68 today and looked pretty good doing it. How do you like where his game is right now?
He teamed up with Patrick Cantlay a few weeks ago in New Orleans when I was covering it as a team event, so it's kind of hard to parse exactly how well a guy is playing. But he and Patrick won that event going away, and it's because between those two guys, I don't know that they're doing anything bad with their game right now. I think when you look at the top echelon of players, and that's John Rahm and Scottie Scheffler and Xander and Patrick and all the ones we've mentioned, that every part of their game is so good that if they just have an average putting week, that they're going to give themselves a chance to win. And if they have a good putting week, which is what, if you look at Xander's stats this morning, he was first in the field in strokes game putting, he's going to have a chance to win easily. And so it's going to be interesting to see how the week sort of unfolds, because the guys this morning, if you look at the forecast, they clearly got the better end of the draw because it's only going to get more and more difficult this afternoon. So between he and Rory, they can put some serious cushion in there.
Rex, one last thought. What about John Rahm? You mentioned him briefly. What do you make of where his game is right now and how it lines up with this course?
I think after falling out of world number one, it was sort of a wake-up call when Scottie Scheffler sort of bumped him out of that top spot. He had gotten off to a slow start this season. He wasn't the John Rahm we're used to seeing. But what we saw in Mexico a few weeks ago at the Mexico Open, where it probably wasn't the best field in golf, but it was the John that we're used to seeing. It was the guy that plays very, very controlled golf, and that when he's on, he's going to be in a different class than many of the other players in the field. And I think we're starting to see that a little bit more. So we've mentioned quite a few players. I think I could probably come up with 10 guys that I feel confident about, and certainly John's in that list.
I like it. GolfChannel.com, senior writer, a co-host of the Golf Central podcast, famously Rex number 7, and a really good friend of the program. He is Rex Haugard. Rex, thanks so much. Great job.
Thanks so much, Jim.
Appreciate you, dude, very much. Rex Haugard, always coming on for the big ones.